Blog Talk Radio.
Now the man at my house, he's so big and strong. He goes to work each day and he stays all day long. He comes home each night looking tired and beat. He sits down at the dinner table and has a bite to eat. Never a frown, always a smile, when he says to me, "How's my child?" I say that I've been studying hard all day in school, trying very hard to understand the golden rule. I think I'll color this man's father.
Color him father.
I think I'll color him love.
Amen, amen, amen. I color him father. Color him father. I remember that song when I was a kid, and I used to listen to it, and it had such an emotional impact on me because it showed a father who displayed love, even though he wasn't the bloodline of this gentleman who was singing, but he was a spiritual connection to this family. He had a deep-seated love in his heart. As my father used to say, who became my stepfather? He said, the only steps exist is the one outside on that porch. You are my son. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David. I'd like to welcome to FM AM. For men about men, where we come together to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word, that we will enhance our knowledge base so that we may strive towards the mark of perfection, spiritual maturity as men. This is so significant, my brothers and sisters who may be listening, because as men, we have a responsibility to be a representation, to be an image bearer of Christ, to be the model that is set for the younger generation to look to, and even no matter where their ages are, because I had a kid who's 11 years old. He is 11 years old, and he was telling his 5-year-old cousin that you don't want to model after me. But I was saddened by that because, yes, he was a model, because apparently the 5-year-old acknowledged him as a model. He said, I want to be like you. And that's what we want to strive to be, like our Heavenly Father, to be like our spiritual big brother Jesus, and to be able to use the power that Jesus had within him in order that we can go forward and do the main thing we were assigned to do, go into the world and spread the gospel, the good news of Christ. Hallelujah. And as always, I like to start off with a prayer because I think it's so significant. And thanksgiving. It's so significant when we go to God to give thanks for the breath and strength that he gave us today, to give us another golden opportunity to move closer to the plan and to exercise our will to line up with his will for our lives. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for your blessings, the blessings of your breath and strength that you put in us. Thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit that you've given us. When we accepted you as our personal Lord and Savior, we know, Father God, from that point on, our development would begin as men. Sometimes it's hard, Father God, to recognize that development. And many times we fall short, or we feel guilty or ashamed or disappointed because we're not meeting the expectation. But because you're a forgiving God, a merciful God, a loving God, an understanding God, you wait on us. And that is the beauty of your love. We know now, Father God, that your love always bears all things. It always, Father God, creates hope. It always is willing to protect. It is always willing, Father God, to preserve. The love that you share for us, be able to do the same as we be representation of Jesus Christ to other men. So thank you, Father God. I pray for the men who do not know you. Father God, sometimes it's difficult because as we were creating your image, you did give us that sense of independence, that sense of ability to take charge. Matter of fact, you put us in charge in the beginning to take dominion of all the world. But Father God, someone on the line, we might miss that here and there. But I thank you, Father God, that this day we'll be guided by the Holy Spirit. He will guide us and direct us and teach us and correct us in a way to redirect us to align ourselves with the mind and heart of Christ. Surely when we align ourselves with Christ, we know that we're going to get it right. So, Father God, I pray for those that don't know you, that they will accept you as their personal Lord and Savior and be endowed with that power, Father God, to get what the fruit of the Spirit tells us at the end, to get self-control. So many men, Father God, are operated out of a pseudo image of what a man is. But I know, Father God, when we follow the path that Jesus has set for us as the model when he came here on earth, Father God, we know that we'll be going in the right direction. Because one thing that Jesus did that we must always adhere to, seek ye first your kingdom and all its righteousness, for all these things shall be added. I thank you, Father God, that I, David, decrease and that the Holy Spirit increase to allow me to impart on that which you've given me. And I pray that it carries the dunamis power, the impact power, the life-changing power. Father, if it's just one word that would be the difference that makes a difference in a brother's life, Father God, I feel, Father God, the usage of who I am, this vessel, would be done. So I thank you, God, as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I'm happy to be back here on the show at FMAM for Men About Men, where we attempt to enhance that knowledge and wisdom that God imparts upon us in order that we may be able to be more successful in our walk in this journey. Sometimes it's very difficult because we have such a load on us and because there's such a, if you will, a responsibility that we must carry that sometimes it's difficult because sometimes we don't have clarity to the assignment. And then there's the other part of us that sometimes we have the tendency to want to walk it alone, that we are the Lone Ranger. And I realized that the Lone Ranger wasn't alone. He had Tonto. So we, Batman had Robin, and Jesus had his 12 disciples. So we just can't go out here and do it alone. We have to make sure that we reach out and we seek that other iron to sharpen this iron that we have in order that we may be able to be victorious in whatever we set our hands to do so that we may prosper in Christ. Well, as always, I like to give some quotes because, as I said, the knowledge that is placed upon these individuals' heart to share with us, to inspire us, to motivate us, to encourage, to help us to become stronger as we go through the challenges of life. Well, there will be challenges. That's a given. But we can handle them with a different attitude as we get inspired by words that carry power to help us change to be the best God intended us to be. Hallelujah. Barack Obama says that the promise of America, the idea that we are responsible for ourselves, but that we also rise or fall as one nation, the fundamental belief that I am my brother's keeper, as well as my sister's keeper. Hallelujah. The actor Marlon Brando said, if we are not our brother's keeper, at least let us not be his executioner. B.B. King said, I'm trying to get people to see that we are our brother's keeper. Red, white, black, brown, yellow, rich or poor, we all have the blues at some time. Or Barack Obama again says, in too many communities, too many young men of color are left behind and seen only as an object of fear. Through initiatives like My Brother's Keeper, I am personally committed to changing both the perception and reality. That is significant, to change the perception and the reality. Many people have false perceptions of many groups of people because sometimes when we have the media only sensing what is negative about an individual or a group of individuals, sometimes people have a misread. They don't have the full reality. But as Barack Obama stated, it's so important that we change the perception because sometimes perception is everything. And Charles Raines said, I applaud President Obama for launching his My Brother Keeper initiative, and that is an aim to empower our youth to achieve success. Success is defined in different ways, and it has different meanings for different people. But there's a common success that I think that's important. When we can walk in harmony, when we can walk in unity, when we can walk to be each other's support, when we can elevate, motivate, and encourage each other to move in the direction to be that absolute image bearer that God wants us to be. And Napoleon Hill said, during the time of disaster, sorrow brings people together in a spirit of friendship and influences man to recognize the blessing coming, his brother's keeper. Yes, it is a blessing. As one of my elders said, it's a blessing to be a blessing. When we recognize the importance of acknowledging our brother and recognize the importance of what he can contribute to us and we can contribute to him, we begin to unify. When we look at a hand and there are five fingers, one finger may have a lot of impact, but when we unite it with the other four, it becomes a force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. The scripture tells us in Genesis 4:9, then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Galatians 6:2 said, bear one another burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Matthew tells us in 25:35, for I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Peter, 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. That is difficult sometimes to have a humble mind because pride gets in the way. But we understand from the scripture, pride before the fall. So when we humble ourselves as Jesus did, we begin to recognize that pride has no place in our walk. Yes, we can have a little pride for a job well done, but not to think of ourselves more than we ought to. And many times when people reach a level of success, as I watch some of the athletes in different commercials or interviews, what have you, I see that level of pride that moves away from humility to egotism or narcissism. And they lose sight of the one who really gave them the gifts and the abilities and to be the vessel that would be used, since you were blessed to have these gifts and ability, to be a blessing to someone else. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. I'd like to read to you now a poem called My Brother's Keeper. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. I am his voice when he cannot speak. I am his strength when he is weak. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. I am his provider when he is in need. I am his arms when he cannot reach. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. I am his justice when he is wrong. I am his friend when he is alone. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. I am his courage when he is afraid. I am his comforter when he is dismayed. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. I am his hope when he does not believe. I am his truth when he is deceived. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. I am his guide when he goes astray. I am his aid if he needs help along the way. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Being there for your brother is truly essential and meaningful if we truly are trying to be an image bearer for God. For God wasn't alone. He had Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And God stated that it wasn't good for man to be alone. Not just as a soulmate, but also as a friend who would stick closer than a brother. When you are your brother's keeper, this is a commitment like nothing, like no other, nothing that you can ever imagine. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. So that's what I want to speak about today. Are we our brother's keeper, this relationship among men? For the most part, I would believe that many people have heard the quote, am I my brother's keeper? And many of us have some awareness of the story behind it as it relates to two brothers, Cain and Abel. However, just to ensure that I'm not leaving anyone out, I will highlight the story. Two brothers are born to Adam and Eve and had a son, one named Cain, who was a farmer, and the other named Abel, who raised livestock. Both were bringing offerings to God. Cain chose some vegetables from his harvest to bring as an offering. Abel brought the very best of his livestock as an offering to God. God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain. And after killing his brother, God had a conversation for which it went something like this. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I do not know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Genesis 4:9. Cain seemed to a bit sarcastic, showing no regards or genuine concern for his brother. After all, he had just killed him. This is very different and exact opposite of the spirit with which we use this phrase, which is to look out for our brother. There are some translations from the New Living Translation. It would say, "I don't know," Cain responds. "Am I my brother's guardian?" The Message would say, he said, "How should I know? Am I his babysitter?" The Living Bible would say, "How should I know?" Cain retort. "Am I supposed to keep track of him wherever he goes?" And the English version would say, Cain answered, "I do not know. It is my job to watch over my brother." Is it my job to watch over my brother? Clearly, Cain didn't understand the in-depth meaning of the phrase or the question. Am I my brother's keeper as it relates to his brother Abel? And sometimes I think that when we are in an emotional and selfish state like a child, we can't see or hear our loving parent and what they are saying to us, which only God could have truly explained the question. But I don't think Cain was ready for it. I don't think he was ready to hear the true meaning because he was in his emotion. He was in his head. It was all about Cain. And we understand that the scripture tells us pride before the fall. So what does it mean to be your brother's keeper? Many people say, "I got your back. I got your six. I got your 360-degree coverage. I'm there for you to death do us part." But are we really? Do we really understand what we are presenting when we say our brother's keeper? Because truly love is action, and we have to show that. And there's too many men walking around that may have some ideal about love, but do we really take it to the next level? Do we really be our brother's keeper? And if our brother lets us down, as Peter asked the question, how many times should I forgive my brother? Should it be seven? He says 7 times 70. That for that sin, that disappointment, that letdown. But that's difficult for many people to be able to handle that. So what does it mean to be your brother's keeper? One meaning is being responsible for the welfare of a brother or sibling or by extension or our fellow man in general. Are we our brother's keeper? Jesus himself said, whatever we do to the needy, the helpless, the oppressed, the marginalized, we do to him. We are a sibling's keeper. Our own well-being is bound forever to the well-being of everyone else. That's what it means to love our neighbors as ourselves. Let me share a scripture with you from Matthew 25:31-46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goat on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Hallelujah. "For when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? I'm going to pause here. When did we go visit the people who were in prison? But I would go as far to say, when did we visit the individual who was imprisoned in his mind or in his heart? When a brother came to speak to you and tell you the woes of life, did you have time? When the brother reached out to you because he was on his knees begging for someone and crying to someone the troubles that were weighing him down, that dropped him to his knees, did you reach a hand down there and talk to him and say, it's going to be all right? Were you a listening ear, or were you too busy in your hustle and bustle? Were you the one that when the man reached out and say, hey, help me, did you reach back and say, I'll give you what I got? I ask these questions because a lot of times we get so busy in our own, we forget to look out for someone else. We forget about being our brother's keeper. As the gentleman talked about from the different versions, am I his guardian? Am I your babysitter? There'll be times somebody may need that protection. Times that someone would need you to sit with them like a baby. Because there's a reality to us as men, is that even though the world tells us we must harbor our emotions, we must keep them to ourselves. We must not cry, and we must not allow others to see us in a weak state. But we're in a vessel. We're in a human vessel that when God designed that vessel, he created tear ducts. And he just didn't give them now to the woman. He gave them to the man. He did not deprive man of emotions, even though we may be the defender, the protector. But at the end of the day, each man will weep. Jesus wept for Lazarus. See, there's a reality that exists. As Obama said, there's a perception and there's a reality. There's the peace that the media, Hollywood, wants to create, this perception of the pseudo-man, the Lone Ranger, the Superman. I don't need nobody. I roll by myself. But that's a problem, because there comes a point in life where life will roll over you emotionally. Life will hit you with impacts of things that you can't even imagine. As they would tell us in the story, to have the patience of Job. But Job cried out. Job snatched his clothes off. Job was overwhelmed by the many things that God had allowed Satan to bring upon him beyond not allowing him to be killed. But he lost so much. The crying out, because he lost his children. I've heard it said, no greater loss than to lose a child. I know that personally. But yes, those things in life will come. We will have to deal with those disappointments and let down. But can a brother turn to another brother in those moments and not hear the machoism or the pseudo image that one tries to create, that you can handle this? As we used to say in the Army, suck it up and drive on. Sometimes you can suck it so much that it becomes a big knot in your throat, and it will break you down because it will choke you out. We need each other. Hallelujah. And the scripture will tell you, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me. You are a curse into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Many men have been gifted to have funds that's beyond reason. I think the gentleman's name is Musk. This man is probably the richest man in the world. And he continues to, and I don't know directly what he does for each individual. But I know people say, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. I've always been fascinated by that statement, because we don't have no problem telling what our right hand, that we got big cars, we got big homes, we take million-dollar trips, we wear million-dollar outfits and rings, but we don't want to tell people that we're blessing people. Like, it's a shameful thing to do when it's the greatest thing to do, because then it would create a model that would allow others to be able to model after. That is why if you see a doctor becomes a doctor and another person says, I want to be a doctor. Why? Because the doctor is helping him when he was sick. When the individual becomes a police officer and he needs to be protected, now someone else wants to be a police officer because they want to protect. This is love. So I respect that you don't want to boast and brag. The right hand boasting and not telling the left hand what to do. But at the same time, it's not boasting or bragging. It's setting a new model. It's creating a new perception that allows men to recognize we need to be there. When the brother is thirsty for someone to love them, when they're hungry for someone to listen to them, are we there? Are we our brother's keeper? Continue. They also will ask the Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to the eternal life. This is what it's all about. See, this is just a journey. We're just passing through. This is not our home. We're visitors. But that kingdom that what Jesus said, where there are many mansions, that we can experience the fullness and the glory of God. As the man said in the song, I can only imagine. That is what we look forward to. So we have a responsibility. As I said earlier, when the commandment was to go into the world and share the good news, the gospel. But as we can see, that Abel did not show much empathy for his brother. Instead, he showed a level of disregard towards God and his brother. Here's where Cain was unwilling to accept responsibility for the welfare of others, which in many cases, if we be honest, we too have displayed some actions to those closest to us. Because our brother didn't do what we wanted him to do. Our son didn't become who we wanted him to become. Our daughters didn't act the way we wanted them to act. The brother on the street who got caught up in drugs, he ain't good enough. The man who lives homeless, why don't he get a job? We got all these standards, all these ideals about how people should be. But whether it's family, friends, or those in our community, while I believe that we are not totally responsible for others' well-being because they have a say in how their lives will move, we still are our brother's keeper in some form or fashion. You see, the scripture tells us in Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another. I spent a great deal of time in the Army, which allowed me to see many people from many parts of the world, their culture, their philosophy, and their worldview. I spent a lot of time observing and listening to the meaning of brotherhood, the value of men being brothers to each other. I can say that with authority because I put a lot of time in the military. And there's one distinction of the military that maybe was different from many other arenas where men come together, is that the military allows us to travel all over and to experience different cultures and different walks of life. And because the military allows us to have the latest and the greatest of advancement, we get to see things that many people didn't get to see. And we get to see how they handle rank, position, status, power. And you get to find out, are we really our brother's keeper? So I want to share a few things about the seven army values, because we are in God's army. So I'm going to share this from a perspective of the military, and hopefully you will gain insight, because these same characteristic attributes that we need to display in the military, we need to display it as we walk this journey. First one is loyalty. bears a true faith and alliance to the United States Constitution, their army, your unit, and your other soldiers. Bearing true faith and alliance is a matter of believing in and devoting yourself to something or someone. A loyal soldier is one who supports the leadership and stand up for the fellow, for their fellow soldiers. By wearing the uniform of the United States Army or military, you are expressing your loyalty. And by doing and sharing, you show loyalty to your unit. When you are in a family, you are a unit. When you are in a community, we are involved in community activity, you are a unit. When you are interacting with your friends, you are a unit. And there should be some loyalty they can count on. You have to, I always tell people that in some conversations is that you have to look at the constitution of the individual. What do they stand for? We've heard the statement, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Well, Proverbs tells us in 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The next one is duty. Fulfill your obligations. Doing your duty means more than carrying out your assigned tasks. We can see that in the church where people, they love getting caught up in their tasks and their activities, and they take charge, and they're just hyped up and moving forward. But it's more than that. Duty means being able to accomplish the task as a part of a team. As one would say, there's no I in team. A team, a unit, coming together to work together. The work of the United States military is a complex combination of mission, task, and responsibility, all in constant motion. The key word here is responsibility, being accountable and responsible. Too many things now we see in our world today with our men, they don't. Some, a great deal of them don't want to be accountable, responsible. Oh, there's a piece of, if you look in the hierarchy of men who are doing what they need to do. But when we look at the streets and we see our boys walking the street, don't matter about race, creed, or color, at the end of the day, they're walking the street, walking aimlessly. They're like wandering generality with no meaningful specific in mind. It's about being responsible and moving in constant motion. Like a shark, you got to keep moving. There's only a handful of sharks that stop moving underwater, but for the most part, keep moving. See, our work entails building one assignment onto another. Onto another. You fulfill your obligations as a part of your unit every time you resist the temptation to take the shortcut. See, everybody wants things quick, fast, and in a hurry. But if you do it like that, there always comes something that will be lacking that might undermine the integrity of the final product. You see, they used to have a joke about when they were in the factory that you didn't want a car that was made on Thursday night and Friday because the integrity of the model being made would be compromised because they got paid and they would say that people would do their thing and basically get laxed. I don't know if it's true or not, just to say. But it still comes to the meaning of what I just said. The integrity may get compromised. The third one is respect. Treat people as they should be treated. In the soldier code, we pledge to treat others with dignity and respect while expecting others to do the same. Expecting the others to do the same. There was an old song by the Staple Singers that would say, respect yourself. Respect yourself. But you, as you respect yourself, you should respect others. Respect is what allows us to appreciate the best in other people. Respect is trusting that all people have done their job and fulfilled their duty. And self-respect is a vital ingredient with the Army's values of respect, which results from knowing you have put forth your best effort. See, we have the tendency to, and this is why they play a lot of team sport, because it was so much competition and comparison, and they missed the point that it was about the gift being displayed. And each one of us would bring a talent or ability that would be conducive to the mission, to the outcome. Every soldier, as I was in the military, had a purpose, had a gift, an ability that I would try to ensure that it lined it up with the mission. I would not have a guy who should be a sniper working behind the computer. And I wouldn't have a guy who should have been behind the computer trying to be a sniper. And I would relate to them, communicate with them, and make it all inclusive so they too would acknowledge their gifts and abilities so we could take it and maximize on it. This is significant, respecting each other's gift. See, because when we put our best effort in, we become a team and we work with each other through our contributions. The scripture would tell us in 7:12, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. Then Romans 12:10 tells us, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Outdo one another, but not outdo them to make them look bad or to make them get behind you, but outdo to show them they can walk side by side with you. As I used to, when I used to do my presentations, I would always tell my soldiers, you got the 3 seats, we got your 6, because the person that's in front of you is leading. The people on the side of you are walking with you side by side, and the person behind you got your back. That's a 360 coverage. So you shouldn't have to be concerned. And in all given situations, you can rotate those positions. Because sometimes when you're not leading, you're walking side by side. In the military, one soldier may get knocked down, another one can step up. And while one is stepping up and the other shift around, maybe the one that had the back moved to the side. But you're always covering each other. This is so significant. And then 1 Peter 2:17 tells us, honor everyone and love the brotherhood and fear God. Titus 2:7 says, show yourself in all respect to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity and dignity. Show integrity and dignity. Now, this is a little different than pseudo pride. This is saying you are invested to give your absolute best. You bring in your 100. The next one is selfless service. Put the welfare of the nation, the army, and your subordinates before your own. No matter what is leadership, we always say we take full responsibility of when the mission is complete. You see, selfless service is larger than just one person. In serving your country, you are doing your duty loyally without thought or recognition or gain. Many people, as they moved up in the rank, once they were privates, shooking and jiving with each other and laughing. Then when they became a sergeant, they forgot about their brother. As a matter of fact, they were stumped on their brother so they could climb a little higher and lose sight of the importance of being loyal to each other and exercising selfless service. As Jesus would say, I didn't come to be served, I come to serve. You see, the basic building block of selfless service is commitment of each team member to go a little further, endure a little longer, and look a little closer to see how he or she can add to the effort. When we used to do the fireman carry, you would recognize that you're holding your soldier, and that soldier could be heavy, but you go a little longer. You endure a little longer. You hang in there a little. Your legs may be giving in. Your back may be giving in, but you're going to carry your brother out of danger. That's love, always protected. Philippians 2:4 tells us, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then Luke 6:35 would tell us, but love your enemy and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. And then it tells us in Philippians 2:3, do nothing for rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. And then finally out of 1 Peter 3:8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and humble mind. This is significant. To be humble, to show a brotherly love, to be tender in heart. It doesn't mean that you're weak. It don't mean that you lack. See, I often tell people, I have nothing to prove, because at the end of the day, I know who I am. And now that I've accepted Christ in my life, I know who I am in Christ. It's just now just developing it. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. No matter what you say, he was Mr. Olympia, and he understood that. But now he's retired, but he maintains, and he keeps moving forward. And what does he do? He pays forward, and he pulls those who are behind him up with him, because now he understands who he is. Hallelujah. And 2 Timothy 2:21 said, therefore, anyone cleanse himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to master of the house, to the master of the house, ready for every good work. And then Proverbs 21:21 tells, whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will find life and righteousness. And then 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, but in your heart honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason, for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. The next one is integrity, number 6. Do what's right legally and morally. Integrity is a quality you develop by adhering to the moral principles. It requires that you do and say nothing that deceives others. Don't create the false perception. As your integrity grows, see, it's a growing process. We mature over time. So those that trust others, so does the trust others place in you. Let me go over it again. As your integrity grows, so does the trust others place in you. The more choices you make based on integrity, the more this highly prized value will affect your relationship with family and friends, and finally, the fundamental acceptance of yourself. You feel good about yourself when you're doing the right thing. Proverbs tells us, hallelujah, in 10:9, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his way crooked will be found out. And Proverbs 28:6 says, better a poor man who walks in integrity than a rich man crooked in his way. Proverbs 27 tells us, the righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Your children would be blessed. Hallelujah. This is significant. This is powerful. See, we are a representation. We are a model. And if we're blessed to be blessed with children, then we want to be a model that they can benefit from. And because we display the way we should be in line with the mind and heart of Christ, our children become beneficiaries of this. And the last but not least is personal courage. Face fear, danger, adversity, physical or moral. Personal courage has long been associated with the army. With physical courage, it is a matter of enduring physical duress at a time of risky personal safety. Facing moral fear and adversity may be a long, slow process of continuing forward on the right path, especially if it takes those actions and is not popular with others. You can build your personal courage by daily standing up for and acting upon the things you know are honorable. Joshua 1:9 tells us, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God will be, your Lord your God is with you wherever you go. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and self-control. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be watchful, stand firm in faith, act like men, be strong. And Psalms 27:14 tells us, wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. So you can see the 7 army values are significant, and they're applicable to our civilian life, or as I like to say now, being soldiers in God's army. But I want to tell you another piece. We had what we call the soldier code. And I'm sharing the military because the military formulated me to be, I believe, a part of the man I am today. I learned about leadership. I learned about communication. I learned about relationships. They used to say, how did you get through 37 years in the military and not get reprimanded? I said, you know, I understood principles and concepts and standards, SOPs and regulations, all that. But what I really learned was how to deal with people, how to work with people in order to be able to maximize on the success for our mission. We always would say mission first. But I would have a lot of debate with many leaders, and I say no, people first, soldier first, who will be able to achieve the mission. But the soldier code goes like this. I am a soldier, a protector of the greatest nation on earth, sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States. I will treat others with dignity and respect, for which I expect others to do the same. I will honor my country, the Army, my unit, my fellow soldiers, by living the Army values. And no matter what situation I am in, I will never do anything for pleasure, profit, or personal safety, which disgrace my uniform, my unit, or my country. Let me stop right there briefly. I would not do anything for profit, personal safety, or pleasure that would impact my unit, our mission, and my brother. You see, that is so significant because people are all about me, myself, and I. They're looking for self-gratification. They're looking for profit, and they forget about personal safety of their brothers. We have to recognize how important we are to each other. Not to walk over our brother, stump on our brother, disregard our brother, but be there for our brother. And lastly, I am proud of my country and its flag. And I want to look back and say that I am proud to have served my country as a soldier. If you twist this a little bit, say, when your day comes for reckoning, you're going to see the sun. Can you be able to say, I can look back and say, I am proud that I served my God. I am proud that I was my brother's keeper. For I love my God with all my mind, heart, and soul. And I love my brother as myself. And I will not depart without giving our soldier creed. I am American soldier, or you can say I'm God's soldier. I am a warrior, a member of a team. I serve the people of the United States and live their Army values. I always place the mission first. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. I will never leave a fallen comrade. I am disciplined, physically, mentally tough, trained and proficient in my warrior tasks and drill. I will always maintain my arms, my equipment, and myself. I am an expert. I am a professional. I stand ready to deploy, engage, destroy the enemy of the United States, the enemy of God and America. We're in close combat. I'm not afraid of Satan. I am a guardian of freedom because when God set us free, he set us free indeed. And the American way of life, I am the American soldier. I am God's soldier first. Hallelujah. You see, as a soldier for God, are you willing to do what it takes to be your brother's keeper, where you would display a level of loyalty to your brother, having a sense of duty to fulfill your obligation, always attempting to show respect for your brother, treating him as you would treat yourself? Are you willing to deny yourself with a level of humility if you will exercise the selfless service and bow down to your brother like Jesus did and wash his feet? What values are you willing to uphold that you carry honor with dignity and respect, and you're willing to act it out to truly be honorable to your brother? And are you striving to maintain a level of integrity, to uphold God's spiritual principles, and do you have the personal courage to achieve that standard in your life for the good of yourself and your brother? Yes, we really are our brother's keeper. You see, Mark 10, as we close out, Mark 10, 45 says, Jesus explained that he came as a son to give his life as a ransom. As your brother's keeper, you're giving your life as a ransom. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. As a soldier, as a man, as your brother's keeper, You are ransoming your life for the betterment and the well-being of others. And this is come to time where we as men need to recognize this, because it's so important as we see the world spinning around in such a way and revolving so quickly and confusing many. And Satan is busy doing his job, attempting to kill, to steal, and destroy us. We as men must unite. We as men must come together. If your brother calls, don't blow him off. Listen. See, you need to be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. Listen. Listening is an active process. See, I hear the sounds in the background, but when I engage myself to listen, I hear the message. And the message is trying to help me to understand my brother. See, we like to judge behaviors. And yes, maybe behaviors, some behaviors are inappropriate. But see, God understands us from the inside out. He loves us. He may not like the sinful behavior. Without a doubt, that's a given. But he loves us. He loved us so much that he would sacrifice his only son for us. So how could he not give us every good thing? And his son was willing to take upon his body. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement of our peace, our punishment that we deserve. And by his stripes we are healed. And he tells us, beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in good health, as thy soul prosper, as our mind, will, and emotion begins to prosper in maturity, we can be our brother's keeper. And all things that we should do it in love. Let no one make you ashamed of that four-letter word. That four-letter word is where it's the old song, you know, love makes the world go round. It truly do. And when we exercise this love to our brothers, we can unite. See, you can't kill your brother and love him at the same time. I don't think Abel understood that. I mean, Cain understood that. So we need to recognize the importance of the power of love. And as I close out, and always, I like to always mention that love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful, arrogant, or rude. It's not irritable or resentful, because it's not pride-minded. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love is not self-seeking. You see, love rejoices in truth and not in evil. It is slow to anger. See, love bears all things. Love always wants to protect. It always wants to create hope. And it always wants to preserve the love that God gave us that never fails. Love your brother, because you are his brother's. You are your brother's keeper. And as closing it always, if you know nothing about God, or you may have and been like the prodigal son, and I've been there, danced there, and you went away, but then life seemed to put you in the pigsty. And you say, how'd I get here? Well, we know Satan is busy, and he's doing his thing. But when you come home, your Heavenly Father's arms are reaching out. So if you haven't accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior, this day, announce with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead so that you may be saved. For confessing that Jesus is Lord, you now are putting the old man behind you, and you're stepping into the new creation, and you're becoming anew. You're renouncing the sinful life, and you're striving towards the mark of perfection. So Jesus took upon his body on the cross our sins within him, that we would die to sin and live unto righteousness. This is where we begin to grow. And once you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, you will receive the promises, and you won't be the one that's pushed to the left and doomed to eternal hell, but you'll be pushed to the right where you have eternity for life. It is so important. And then all the promises become a part of your life. You become joint heirs. You get to inherit the beauty that God offers us. And this is the golden opportunity. Take upon it. Hallelujah. In your quiet time, if you don't want to say it now, but just reach out. Because I can tell you, as you begin to renew your mind, renew your heart, and renew your spirit, you begin to become that new man. And yes, you'll be willing to be your brother's keeper. But as always in party, please do not forget to check out Kingdom Builder Development. If you want to contact us by email, ask for prayer requests, or join the team, you can contact us at KingdomBuilderPlaza@gmail.com. Or contact us at the home office at 313-583-9739. And you can sow into the ministry so the ministry can keep growing at www.givify.com, G-I-V-E-L-I-F-Y.com. Yes, you give into everything else, give into the ministry, because there's a reality to this. We're able to spread the good news, the gospel, and get the opportunities out there for others so they can be a beneficiary of being joint heirs with Christ. And as always in party, my brothers, you pray for me, I pray for you. And let's watch the miraculous things that God would do in us as men. Yes, we are our brother's keepers. God bless you. See you soon. Yes.
In a little tent.
Oh, that's life.
I've been running. Ever since.
It's been a long time coming.
I know.
Change gonna come.
Oh, yes, it is.
Hallelujah. Yes.
But I'm
not afraid
to die.
Cause now
I know what's up
there.
Beyond the sky.
It's been a long time coming.
But I know change gonna come.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes.
Somebody keeps telling me no.
Hang around.
It's been a long time, but I know
change gonna come.
Oh yes it will.
Then I go to my brother.
And I say, brother, help me please.
But I know change is gonna come.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God bless you.